Amen. And you may be seated. As you are, be sure to pull out your Bibles and open them up to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. Mark, chapter 1, verse 1. You will not find an outline this morning in your worship guides. And that's because I didn't make one. We are doing baptisms this morning. And with those baptisms, I have maybe some shorter comments to share about baptism itself. But suffice it to say that today is a day of celebration at Long Beach Alliance Church. We are celebrating what God can do in the lives of those that He has claimed as His own children. And you are going to witness in just a little bit the lives of different people in our church that have been changed and transformed. And because of that, today is a day of celebration. We are celebrating with the seven people that are following the Lord in baptism this morning. And so I'm really looking forward to what our service has for us. And I hope that you will engage it, that you will literally cheer Jesus for what He is doing in the lives of people that are right here in our midst. Mark chapter 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know that word gospel means good news. Literally, it's the good news that was delivered, the good news in Jesus Christ. God promised us the good news at the very beginning when Adam and Eve had sinned. God took aside Adam, He took aside Eve, and as He was dispensing judgment to them, He promised them that there would come a Savior, one that would crush the head of sin, one that was going to crush the head of Satan, that snake that deceived Eve and then sucked Adam in to the same deception. When they were deceived, certain death came into the human race, but God promised there would be a Savior. From the very beginning, back in ancient times, before we can even keep track of time, God promised a Savior. And so throughout the whole Old Testament, there is an anticipation of Messiah, an anticipation of the Savior. And then Jesus comes miraculously, extraordinarily, and the four Gospels record His life. The four Gospels are four different perspectives on the life of Jesus Christ. There's many similarities between them, and the main similarity is they're all talking about Jesus. And isn't it interesting? At the beginning of the book of Mark, Mark probably wrote his gospel under the watchful eye and with the input of Simon Peter. When you are reading the gospel of Mark, you're reading oftentimes Peter's perspective on what happened with Jesus Christ. That is why the disciples are hammered on in the book of Mark so hard, because Peter understood that they did not get who Jesus was while He was on earth. That they did not understand who He was until they were able to step back and take a look at the whole picture. And that's why it's so interesting, because Peter was so intimately close to Jesus Christ. He was one of his chosen few that was in the tightest inner circle to Jesus. It's so interesting to understand the Gospel of Mark, because it gives us a perspective that I think is near to, is very close to Jesus Christ and some of the perspectives that He had. I believe that the Gospel of Mark was written first. And with that, it kind of creates a basis for our understanding of the other Gospels. It's the smallest, the shortest, the most condensed, and probably the most precise of all the Gospel accounts. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would you expect to come next? His birth? Would you expect some story about Jesus? That's what I would expect. If we're going to talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, this good news that has been promised since the beginning, this good news that has been anticipated through the whole Old Testament, if we're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, who's going to be its main character next? Jesus. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make His paths straight." Verse 4, John the Baptizer. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ was not Jesus. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ was a man named John, a baptizer. Kind of a nutcase, actually. hung out in the desert, ate bugs, dressed in really itchy clothing. That's how the Bible describes him. Ticked off every authority that was around. Told the authorities that they were living in sin constantly. And he had this strange ministry out in the Jordan River, way outside of town, where he would dunk people into the water and allow them to give a public declaration of their what had happened in their lives. The baptism for the remission of sins. A baptism that was an example to the world that they were going to stand in a holy walk with God. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This is where we really begin to understand what baptism means in the New Testament. Flip over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew's a much longer gospel, a gospel that is written with a heavy Jewish overtone, probably written to those people in the first century that were Jews but were considering the claims of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, who? John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jump forward to verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. Whoa! What have you always perceived baptism to be? I know I was baptized as a child. I was probably 8 or 9 years old when I was baptized. I remember it well to this day. I was baptized in North Redondo Chapel. And I remember my baptism very well. And I remember sitting there with our 350-year-old senior pastor in his office. And he said, baptism is an example for the whole world to see that you have already received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that you have died, that was going down in the water, you've died to your sins, and you've been raised up anew with Jesus Christ. Just the same way that He was resurrected, you've been resurrected. I remember it. He was a bold character, loud guy. I remember when he would yell in church, I could look up at the lights and see them moving. I mean, he had a big, big voice. Powerful character in my young life. And I remember him telling me about this. And it always troubled me when I came to verse 13 of Mark, or of Matthew. Then Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the one who brings the good news, right? The one who, what? Was sinless. Sinless. Had no flaw. The perfect lamb. The perfect sacrifice. We know the whole story even as we move our way through the Gospels. This is Jesus. The one who had no sin, who took on sin on our behalf. This is sinless Jesus that's coming to John to be baptized. And John has the natural reaction in verse 14. He tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you. And you come to me? Are you kidding me? We need to reverse roles here." And Jesus, insistent, says to him, "Permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he permitted him. Why was Jesus baptized? Whenever I sit down with people that want to be baptized, it's one of the first questions I ask them. I ask them what baptism means. And most of us have been around the church long enough to know that baptism does not save you. That what happens in that tank here or at the beach, if you were baptized there or wherever the puddle of water was that you got immersed in, that baptism is symbolic of a relationship that already exists between Jesus Christ and the person being baptized. That baptism is simply a public declaration of that relationship that already exists. It's a relationship where we realize that Jesus Christ has called us by name, that He has reached out to us, that He has chosen us, and that He has called us to repentance. And so we have responded and we have repented from our sins, as it speaks of John the Baptist, a baptism of repentance of sins. It's that same thing. It's that standing up and saying yes to Jesus and doing so publicly. So the whole world knows Baptism is not for just you and your friends. It's for the whole family of God. It's for your whole extended family, even those that don't know Jesus. It's for everybody to know that my life stands with God. I identify myself with Jesus. He has given me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I do in that water, in being immersed, it's like death and coming back to life. I'm identifying with Jesus Christ, who died and was resurrected. And I live in the hope that He will do the same for me, even if I face death. Now, most of the baptismal candidates that come to me probably don't articulate it quite that way. Right? They're like, well, you know, I got a relationship with Jesus and I want to be baptized. I know I'm supposed to do it. Why? Because it's obedient. It's what Jesus asked me to do. That's true. So then I ask him the next question. Why was Jesus baptized? And what do you normally get? Well, he was being obedient. Well, but he didn't have any sin. I mean, why be baptized? If you've never sinned, why do this whole symbolic dying to the old, being raised with the new, and all that kind of stuff? Why was Jesus baptized? Permitted at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. I think there were three things that occurred at baptism. First off, it was a sign of repentance. In the case of Jesus Christ, it was a sign of total submission and dedication to His Father God. That's what repentance is. Repentance is turning away from anything that is of yourself and turning yourself toward God. It's a military term, to turn from one direction and to go a different direction. Jesus Christ was already walking with God, but for Him, this was a sign of dedication to the Lord, a sign of obedience to Him, and it's the same for us. When you watch these baptismal candidates, when you see them get baptized this morning, they are dying to anything that is of themselves, and they're being raised to everything that is about Jesus. Their lives publicly are declaring that they belong to Him. And Jesus Christ made that same statement. He wanted the whole world to know. You've heard about my ministry, you know, the earlier in the book of Matthew and earlier in some of the Gospels, it'll talk about how the name of Jesus was spreading. How it would spread down the Jordan. It would spread into Jerusalem. It was spreading all around Galilee. His name was renowned in Capernaum. All these different places that they'd heard about Jesus. What did He want them to hear about? That Jesus' life stood for God the Father. That He was identified wholly and completely with Him. And as we experience baptism today, we get to experience people who are saying, I identify my life with the Master. 100%. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Isn't that odd? Isn't that odd to say something like that? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but He who lives in me. This life which I'm now living in the flesh, I live according to Him. In dedication to Him. In identification with Him. This is the essence of baptism. That we die with Christ. We identify with Him. Holy. It is a sign of repentance, of turning from the old. It is also a sign, I've got it written here, a public statement of belonging to God. Whenever we see baptism, we always see it with multiple characters in the Bible, with people that are all surrounding it. Even the one story of the Ethiopian treasurer who got baptized just out on the road. You know, the guy was reading the gospel and Philip found him and said, do you know what those words mean out of Isaiah? No, I wish somebody was here to explain it to me. Well, I can do that. And so he describes the gospel from the Old Testament and he tells him about Jesus. And the Ethiopian treasurer says, great, I believe in Jesus. And what's the first thing Philip does? Or what's the first thing the Ethiopian treasurer does? He asks, he says, can I be baptized? And so him and his little entourage that are there, you know, you can just see him. Everybody kind of piles out of the carriage and they all stand there and they find a puddle. They just find a puddle. out there in the middle of nowhere, and Philip baptizes him right there on the road. And then God sweeps Philip away to go and do God's business elsewhere. Whenever we see a picture of baptism, there's always multiple characters. And isn't it interesting that even that situation with the Ethiopian treasure is recorded in Scripture, and most of us know about it. Most of us know about his baptism. Most of us know about the public nature of him standing for Jesus Christ. That's part of what baptism is. It is public. It is an act of repentance, and it is an act of public declaration that you belong to God. That's why at the very end of the book of Matthew, if you were to flip forward to chapter 28, most of you know this by heart. Jesus Christ says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples." He says, in the making of these disciples, that's the command that is there, make disciples, not make converts, not make good Christians, not make anything other than disciples, people that from the beginning to the end are identified with Jesus. When you're in the midst of that making disciples, you should go to them to find them, go to all nations, in other words. You should baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you should teach them. Those are the marks of a disciple in Jesus Christ's mind. One that is taught, one that is baptized, and one that shares to all the nations about who Jesus Christ is. These are the marks of a disciple as defined by Jesus Christ himself. Are you taught? Are you baptized? Do you share the story? This is the measure of your baptism. This is the measure of your discipleship. This is the measure of your teaching. And this is the measure of the gospel, the content of it. It's all contained right there in Matthew chapter 28. And so I ask you this morning, as you witness these baptisms today, have you responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Repentance from sin, trust in Him, dedication to living your life in obedience to Jesus Christ. That is what you will see exampled this morning. You're going to see it exampled in a very public manner. Finally, I would ask that in this time of baptism, you would ask yourself the question, have I ever been baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? I know some of you, and you'll hear about this morning, some of you have been baptized as infants or little children. We do baby dedications at this church to not mix up the baptism of a believer with the dedication of a child. I have baptized many, many people who were baptized when they were children and have come back to me and said, "I didn't understand. I didn't understand when I was a little child what I was doing. And I want to stand up publicly as an adult, as a person who understands what it means to follow Jesus Christ. I want to stand up and be baptized. I want everyone to know that my life belongs to Jesus Christ." Have you obeyed Jesus Christ's command at the end of Matthew to be baptized? Do you have that mark of discipleship in your life? You maybe have gone to this church for 150 years and you've never been baptized. Can I call you to that act of obedience? Perhaps you are a newer Christian and you have never been baptized, or somewhere in between, and you have never followed Jesus Christ's obedient example, identification with the Lord. You've never followed that command in Matthew 28. And this morning, as you experience baptism, is the first time you've ever realized it. I've got news for you. We can fill that tank up anytime you want. We got all kinds of water. I'd be happy to baptize you. We would be delighted to celebrate in what Jesus Christ is doing in the midst of your life, wherever you find yourself. If you would like to stand up and say, "My life belongs to Jesus Christ," then He has called you to this moment of baptism. Look at the response to baptism that God Himself has. After being baptized, I'm back in Matthew 3, by the way, verse 16. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting or landing upon Him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Baptism pleases God. It is a public declaration here on earth of a spiritual reality that exists between God and His children. And His own Son, Jesus, in whom we put our faith and trust for eternal life. When He was baptized, God was well pleased. Baptism is a sign of repentance. Baptism is a public statement of belief in God. Baptism is obedience to what Jesus Christ calls His disciples toward. Where are you this morning as you witness these baptisms? For me, baptism is a great celebration. Baptism is a moment in our lives. And it's just this singular moment, you know? Jesus Christ asks us to do two things. Remember me in communion and be baptized. These are the actions that He wanted attached to His disciples to remember Him. This baptism thing, though, it's a one-time moment in your life. And so it's a huge celebration to me of transformation, of a life that has been taken from darkness and has been moved into the light. A life that has been taken from certain death, which was promised from the very beginning. And God promised that He would send Jesus Christ. And God was good on His promise and sent Jesus miraculously to the earth. Jesus Christ lived a faithful life to God the Father. God accepted Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and resurrected Him from the dead, allowed Him to conquer death and sin and all that goes along with it, and then promises you that if your life is identified in Jesus Christ, He will extend to you the same salvation, the same resurrection, the same certainty of living forever in the fellowship and relationship of God with Him in His dwelling, which is heaven. I mean, this is an extraordinary moment in somebody's life to say, I identify publicly with Jesus Christ. I have been transformed. This is the living out of an ancient promise that came from certain destruction. And it brings meaning. We always hear stories on TV, goofy stories. They're like on the UFO channel about people that, you know, died and saw some light. And, you know, then they came back and they're called, you know, life after death stories. I will guarantee you this. Every single person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will experience life abundantly with God after death. And this morning is a celebration of that. This morning is a celebration of people whose lives have been transformed and changed. As you experience this, I would ask, if you've been baptized, are you living out your baptism? Are you living out the baptism that Jesus Christ called you to as His disciple? Being baptized, being taught, and sharing the story? If you've never been baptized, then that lays you into one of two categories. Either you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I would call you to what I shared this morning, this great news about Jesus. I would call you to observing these baptisms this morning, listening to these stories of transformation. I would call you to repentance. I would call you to trust in Jesus. I would call you to throw yourselves on the mercies of God and trust in Him. Follow Him this morning. Or you already believe and you have just never followed what Jesus Christ has called you to in this area. So could I call you? We're going to do another baptism the last Sunday in September here on a Sunday morning. If you missed out on this morning but you want to be baptized, then will you consider being baptized that Sunday? Will you follow Jesus? Will you be obedient to Him? This morning is a celebration of what Jesus Christ can do in people's lives. It is the story of life that comes after death. Death to sin. Death to death. And death that leads unto life. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we We come to you this morning and we pray that your abundant blessing would be on this time of baptism. God, we are overwhelmed when we experience true life that comes from you. And Father, we puzzle sometimes on why were you baptized? Why Jesus? Why would Jesus be baptized? And yet we see how his life identified with you, how he said, nothing that I speak, nothing that you hear, nothing that you see is any different than what you experience from God the Father. His relationship with you was intimate and tight and close. And God, we desire to be transformed unto this relationship in our own lives. We want to be your children. And God, this morning, as we see these that are going to follow in obedience of you, we celebrate. We celebrate in what they're doing, but more than that, God, we celebrate in what you're doing, what you have done and what you will do in the lives of those that you have called your own. Thank you, God, for these times. We worship you this morning and we thank you for being true to your promise, that ancient promise that you would not leave us alone, but that you would send us a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.